Blog Talk Radio.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
And they thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
Bless their heart. Forgive them.
I do, because they were misinformed and they didn't have any of the answers. So, you know, and about God, complex issues. And I just said, well, you know, this is what they taught them in school, and that's all they know. So I had to go deep on my own, and I did.
Mm.
I did.
And you're a powerful teacher, very powerful teacher.
Thank you.
All right. So, Dr. Reggie, I think it's probably time that we go into our opening prayer, and then we'll pick up on our lesson. I want to close it out today.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we all who are listening into this show say good morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we are grateful that you graced us with a beautiful day, a day we have never, ever seen before and date. And as long as we are alive on the planet, we'll never see this day again. Let us rejoice in it and find our joy and be on the road to higher ascendancy and mastery through the Christ consciousness, which we have no other choice. Once we're in that energy, we have to do nothing but ascend. We're in this fifth dimensional reality now, so is the earth, and we thank you for the planetary ascension and our personal ascension and our personal power. Grant us the power that's unseen and the miracles that are wrought by the unbelievable power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Let us listen and be in joy, because there's nothing to fear. Nothing, no thing on earth that you have created that we shall fear, because we are always with you and you are always in us. I believe it is so.
And
so
it
is.
And so it is. Thank you so much. I just love your prayer. It just brings me into remembrance of who I am.
Amen.
I'm just so grateful.
Amen.
So, yesterday, you know, we have been on the topic of unconditional love. It is the second golden key. Remember that Joshua Stone is giving us five golden keys of understanding who we are and the keys to unleashing our personal power and moving into Christ consciousness. So yesterday we talked about the chapter moves on to start laying out the different techniques that we can use to become to produce more self-love, for us to move into self-love, which always begins with forgiveness, does it not? And so he gave us, made us aware of our child consciousness. This is dealing with the things that we have accumulated over the years that from our parents and teachers and just belief systems that have not really served us well. And this is the time when we kind of beat ourselves up and we don't feel worthy because maybe we had a parent that was very critical, and so those feelings are still within us. So we covered that yesterday. And he provided us with parenting skills to deal with helping us to move beyond those feelings that we had when we were children so that we can rise above those feelings of low self-esteem and questioning our self-worth. Today I'm going to cover a couple of other techniques that he gives us. One he calls it dialoguing. And he says that it's a very helpful tool in developing a proper relationship with different parts of yourself. So you want to talk to your child consciousness and see how it's doing. You know, if you're feeling a little wounded, you want to go inside of yourself and say, well, why are you feeling wounded? What caused this? I used to do this. I didn't know that's what I was doing. But here I go again. I'm in California in the car in traffic, bumper to bumper traffic. There's nothing to do but talk to yourself. And so I would say, well, what caused that feeling? If someone said something to me and it hurt my feelings, I would ask, well, why? And what do you think What do you think you did to cause that person to talk to you that way? I just went through a whole conversation with myself, and then I would work it all out. Because you know what? At that moment, then my higher self would interject and say, "You did nothing wrong."
Amen.
And it would and it would be revealed to me the pain that the other person was going through. And it's one of my big issues back then was if people even looked at me wrong, my self child, my inner child would be upset and disturbed. So I really had to stop worrying about what other people thought of me.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. Dr. Reggie had a hard time getting that lesson through me, I think. It took a long time. It didn't happen overnight. So I don't want you guys to think that you can do this stuff overnight. That's a long way to say that. I want you to believe that that it can occur overnight because it can. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to beat yourself up
right.
when you don't meet the level that you are expecting to meet. Just continue to do the work. And Joshua Stone says, you know, saints are sinners who never gave up doing the work. So just don't give up. All righty. So he says, dialogue with the critical parent and with the permissive parent, and then with the firm and loving parent. Get more deeply in touch with how these dynamics are operating within you. You might even add your higher self into the dialogue and see what it has to add to the whole process. And I love this because the Huna teachings from Hawaii, they call the higher self the utterly trustworthy parental self. Utterly trustworthy parental self. And I find that so fascinating because, in other words, we need to learn to parent ourselves as our higher selves parent us. And don't our higher selves parent us with firmness and tough love? Firmness and tough love. So that is one technique that you can use. Another technique is the victory log. I used to have a workshop called Life Homework.
Mm-hmm.
We had, Dr. Reggie and I own a personnel agency, and we were in the midst of a recession. So here we are with all these applicants, everybody looking for a job and no job. And people would come in so discouraged and fearful. And I didn't know it then, but I was, at the time, I just started addressing that issue as opposed to finding a job because I had very little. We were on the phone constantly looking for things. But I said, I need to help these people and heal them because I know that the way to manifest a job is to see yourself in a job. So I had this thing called Life Homework. And what I started out with in Life Homework, I said, I need you to think about all the time that you were successful in your life, things that you were very proud of, that you accomplished, and write them down. And not only do I want you to write them down, I want you to pay attention and recall how you felt while you were pursuing the thing that you desired the most and that you successfully accomplished. What was your state of consciousness? What was your state of mind? If there was a problem that occurred that you had to overcome in order to accomplish, how did you do it? How did you jump over that hurdle or go through that hurdle? And what were you thinking and what were you feeling? And I tell you, people had such miracles because that beginning lesson of writing down your victories, it lets you know that you have the potential to succeed in anything. And oftentimes we don't acknowledge our successes. So let me tell you, let's share with Joshua Stone concept of the victory law, very much what mine is, but I'd like for you to hear his word so that you understand where he's taking you. He said, so far, all that I have talked about in terms of self-love, it has been on the essence level, the level on which we have worked and received love because we are sons and daughters of God. But there's also the form level. Now he's talking about in the material world. In other words, besides feeling good about who we are, we also need to feel good about what we are doing and creating in our lives. And the critical parent spends all of his time being a perfectionist in a negative sense, looking for what we are doing wrong. But in any given day, we may be doing 98% well. But the critical parent will spend the entire day focusing on the 2% that we are doing wrong. This doesn't make any sense because we should be 98% happy that day and only 2% depressed. So you're seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. The purpose of a victory log is to look at what we are doing well and not at what we are doing poorly. So here he says that the victory log is a two-step process. First, you want to go over your entire life with a fine-tooth comb and list all the things that you have done well in. List all your fine attributes and your qualities. Write down everything, no matter how minute. And by doing this, you will automatically feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your perspective changes, and you see things the way your higher self wants you to see them. The second step in this victory log is that every night before bed and every morning right after you wake up, you want to add to this list and review the victories of that day and the victories that you had during the week. Because by doing this, you're giving strokes and positive reinforcement to your child consciousness. You're telling the child within you how much you appreciate his cooperation and teamwork. And you might even tell your higher self the same thing, because together you are an unbeatable team. Now, you know, to write the list takes a little time and commitment. Love yourself enough to take the time and the commitment to write a list. Write it down. And look at how fabulous you are. I love it. Okay, so he then talks about, look, we all make mistakes. And this has been a lesson that he repeats over and over again. We make mistakes, but mistakes are there for a reason. They're there for us to learn from them. We need to learn and take the wisdom from the experience and move on. Move on. When you do make mistakes, it's important to keep the critical parent out. It is okay to make observations about yourself or others. This is called spiritual discernment because it is done in unconditional love. You're not making anybody wrong. You're not making anyone right. You're just saying, okay, this is what I have observed. That's it. No judgment on it. Whatever the mistake is, all you want to do is gain the golden nugget of wisdom from the experience and then let it become a positive experience. So if you truly learn from a mistake, you will never have to go through similar suffering again. What does this remind you of? Did the lessons from oneness pop up in anyone's mind that's been listening to Circles of Prosperity? It sure did for me, because what does oneness tells us that we will continue to experience dramas in our life, the same drama over and over. The people and the circumstances may change, but the core of the lesson that we need to learn that will be recreated in another similar drama. And until we raise our vibration, this is the language that they use, until we raise our vibration to another level, we will stay in that cycle of attracting that same drama over and over. Raising your vibration means that you can look at the situation, but you're not emotionally responding or reacting to that situation. You can look at it as an observer. And once you're at that point where you're not emotionally invested, your vibration has raised. You learn that lesson. And then you can go on and to some more experience, different types of dramas. But all of those dramas, what they're calling drama, this is what Joshua Stone is saying, mistakes. And when you move beyond the mistake, is the way you move is say, oh, I get this lesson. I get it. Okay? So he says mistakes are positive and unavoidable. So pick yourself up and get on with it. Pick yourself up and get on with it. You know what I've noticed, and I go, oh, my God, I don't think I could ever do this. Have you guys ever noticed people? Well, here's a perfect example. Because it's current. Paula Deen is going through this personal tragedy that has occurred in her life. I mean, she is experiencing a drama that she has attracted to herself extremely publicly. It's on all the airwaves. Can you imagine if you screwed up that the whole world is hearing it and how you would feel at that moment? She made a mistake, right? She made a mistake, but it's being displayed all over the world. I would be extremely devastated. I don't know how I would survive. I guess, you know, and I can see it in her face that this is just a horrendous experience for her. Horrendous. And the consequences have been extreme. She's losing all these contracts that she has, and they are worth millions of dollars. So we have our little drama, but nowhere near on the level of that. So I'm praying for her. That's a lot of pain to go through, and I'm praying that she will move through this and get the lesson. And you know, when you are on the air, even though this is a little internet show, we have to be conscious of how we're influencing people. The things that we say impact people's lives. So I am praying for her. A crucial part of self-love is forgiveness. I wonder if she's at that point where she can forgive herself. Because you have a choice of subscribing to a philosophy of forgiveness or holding grudges. And what do you think happens when you hold a grudge? What's the energetic signature of grudge? Anger, resentment. And that blocks a lot of good, doesn't it? It blocks your blessing. It's a horrible wall to build up. If you hold a grudge, you are holding it against your child's consciousness. And when you hold the same kind of grudge, can you even imagine holding that kind of grudge against a child? If you want to be forgiven by God, is it unreasonable to give the same energy in return to yourself and others? That's why I tell you, be gentle with yourself. Forgive yourself for making a mistake and move on. It's not the end of the world. And that's what I would say to Paula D. This is not the end of the world. It's just an awakening of the power that you have and how you need to handle it more judiciously. So what happens if you don't have self-love? If you don't have unconditional self-love within yourself, then automatically, you know what happens? You end up seeking it outside yourself. Love is a survival need. You know, they have children in institutions who have been known to die from lack of love. In the hospitals where their babies, a hospital administration that is very in tune wants those nurses to come and pick up and hold those babies quite frequently, because they need to have that that touch, that human touch. They're new in the world. They're probably frightened, and that touch gives them comfort, okay, that love. So the ideal here is to give love to yourself and to allow yourself to receive God's unchanging, unconditional love. If you don't do this, then you end up seeking love, you end up seeking approval and acceptance from other people. And this puts you in a compromised position, because other people become your programmers and the creators of your reality. But your work is then in their hands. Do you really want other people to hold this power over you? No. So not having self-love puts a hole in your protective bubble. So when people begin to criticize you, you can't protect yourself. Ideally, you want to give yourself so much love and allow yourself to feel so much of God's love that you will go into each day feeling totally, totally powerful and totally loved before you encounter another human being. You are so full and complete within yourself and you that you feel at one with God. And you are so filled with love that you can give love to others even if they don't love you. In essence, you want love, but you don't need love. You prefer loving relationships, but you are not attached to getting love. Why? When you are a self-actualized person, you first form a right relationship with yourself and a right relationship with God before you begin seeking relationships with others. Yesterday I told you this is a selfish experience. Life is a selfish experience. It is all about you. It is all about you. So here you are, the two most important relationships in your life, your relationship with yourself and your relationship with God. And then you can move into life as a whole, masterful, independent person who is in this world to give rather than to get, and who does not need to fill an empty void within the self. This is the work of the spiritual path. I am whole. I am complete. I am one with my Creator. I don't need this person in my life. I would love to have this person in my life, but I don't need it. I am complete and I am whole unto myself. That is a powerful, powerful experience. And you know, it trickles down into every part of your life. I don't need this particular job because I am complete and whole, and I know that I can manifest anything that I desire. because I'm aware of my personal power. I'm aware of my relationship with God. I'm aware of my relationship with self. I am whole and complete. I am a master in myself. So whatever I need will come to me because I can create it. No one can hold my good from me. Not one person can hold anything that I desire from me. And I will talk to you, many of you that are kind of grew up in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s when the man, you know, that was the whole mantra, how the man was holding you down. No one was holding you down except for you and your erroneous thinking. And God help me, I hope that you have not carried that consciousness on here in the next century. You are an empowered soul. All the power is within you, but you give it away. You give it away. Wake up. I love how Joshua Stowe says this. He says, we actually have it all right now. The only problem is that we think we don't. We live in the nightmare of self-inflicted limitations, even though they aren't even real. We can get rid of these limitations anytime that we want by owning our power and taking command over our mind. But first, you gotta wake up. Do the victory log. Dialogue with your inner self. Find out what is holding you back. What do you feel is holding you back? And then at that moment, stop and say, this is only a belief. I only think that this is what's being held back. Therefore, you know that's an illusion, is it not? You are creating it from the thought, from the belief. Are you guys connecting the dots here this morning? All of these things that I'm saying to you are lessons that I say over and over again. So let's do some affirmations this morning, okay? These are self-love affirmations. All right, here's number one. I love and forgive myself totally for all of my mistakes, for I now recognize that mistakes are positive and not negative. I now fully recognize that I have worth because God created me, and I do not have to do anything to have self-worth. I was created that way. I now recognize that I am a diamond and not the mud on the diamond. My worth is unchangingly positive because it is a spiritual inheritance. It's not increased by my success, nor is it decreased by my mistakes. I realize now that I have total worth and value as a person, whether I learn my lesson in life or not. That's powerful. I realize now that I have total worth and value as a person, whether I learn my lessons in life or not. I still have value. I now recognize that everything that has ever happened in my life has been positive because it all contained lessons that I needed to learn. You are on this journey to learn. I choose to live in the now and to not hold the past against myself. Let it go. Let it go. I hereby choose to approve of myself so that I do not have to go around seeking approval from others. I deserve love. Why? Because God created me, and my mistakes are not held against me. I realize that everything that happens in life is a teaching, a lesson, a challenge, and an opportunity to grow. And I now realize that I am the capital I person, the chooser, the consciousness, and the spiritual being, and that this part of me deserves unconditional love at all times. I love that one. I am the light and not the lampshade over the light. I deserve love because my true identity is not what I do in life. I am the chooser of what I do. My true identity is not what I do in life. It's what I choose to do. So I now understand that I am here to learn lessons and grow in life, but if I make mistakes, I am still totally lovable and unchangingly worthy. I hereby choose the attitude of being very firm with myself and unconditionally loving. I am the master of my life, and I choose to be my own best friend instead of my own worst enemy. I choose to love me as God loves me unconditionally. I now choose truly to understand that I want to be perfect, with the understanding that mistakes are positive and part and parcel of the growing process. I now realize on the level of my true identity being, the capital I, the chooser, the person, the spiritual being, the soul, I am a perfect equal with every other person in this world. I now choose to awaken and recognize that it was only the faulty thinking of my ego that has caused me not to love myself. I now choose to undo all the faulty thinking society has programmed into me and to replace it with self-love. I choose to recognize that I deserve love, and so do other people. I choose to recognize that I am guiltless and sinless because all mistakes are just lessons and opportunities to grow.
Wow.
Mistakes in reality are just golden nuggets of wisdom and are positive. He has repeated this one over and over again, the concept that not to hold yourself in bondage by the mistakes that you have made in the past. He's repeated it so many times that leads me to believe that that is our biggest challenge to overcome, to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive yourself. Love you. Let's go on. I now realize that God does not hold my misuse of free choice against me. So why should I? That's, again, moving into a state of consciousness of forgiveness, is it not? I love me. I love me. I love me. I forgive me. I approve of me. I commit myself from this moment onward to treating myself in a spiritual manner rather than in an egotistical manner. I now fully realize that the way in which I think in this reality in which I live, I have been living in my own self-created hell of faulty thinking. And I now choose to and will live in my self-created heavenly state of consciousness. It is really just that simple.
Wow. Wow.
Woo! I unconditionally love me because I am a son and daughter of God, and my misuse of free choice or faulty thinking is not held against me. Could what God created not be lovable and worthy?
Mm-hmm.
I love me because I am innocent and not guilty. The only thing in this infinite universe that says I do not deserve love is my ego. And I hereby reject my ego and its false attitude. And I get back in tune with my true spiritual attitude, my true self, my true identity. I now, once and for all, release the ego's game of having to do in order to deserve love and work. I now fully recognize I have always been lovable and worthy and will always be so.
Mm.
If that didn't get your blood tingling this morning, I don't know what will. And these affirmations, I will send them to you today. You know, I will send them to you today. I can't make you say them, but I can tell you when you do, it shifts things inside of you. You start a volcano of love erupting inside of you. Dr. Benji?
Yeah.
Do you want to take us into our closing prayer?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful lesson that we are absorbing deeply in our minds and hearts as we ponder what they really mean. The I is very important. The core being of who we are is very essential. We have to love ourselves unconditionally as you love us. It's a reflective cosmic mirror that we choose to live by. We thank you for the lesson. Thank you for Cynthia and the whole team of listeners of Circle of Prosperity. And let it be blessed always. And we carry it with us into eternity. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Wow. You guys have a great day. I just love you so much.